Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. My name is Scott McKenzie. So glad that you are here. This platform, the Industrial Talk platform, is dedicated to you, the industrial professional. It's all about your success. You're changing the world. That's what this is all about. Hey, and if you're looking at me out on the old video, I got some new hats. Got to take a look at them. I like them. I hope you do too. So anyway, let's get going with the podcast. Great interview. You know, we're always about sales, marketing, branding, all of the things that you need, the tools that you need to be a success in the future, going forward, automation, leveraging technology, all of that stuff. Well, we're going to be talking to a gentleman by the name of Ed Marsh. He is with Consilium Global Business Advisors, and we are talking that on this particular podcast. And I'm, you know, let's just call it what it is. We've got a lot of head trash out there, and I'm using a term that was provided by Ed, a lot of head trash on how we think we need to conduct business going forward. But I want to make sure you understand the reason for this platform is to demonstrate that there are other options, other tools that are available to you as a professional to use to be successful in your career. And that's what we're going to be talking about. And this is one, and I'm going to get him back because we're going to be talking a little bit about intent data. He has another platform. And that's a whole nother conversation that you've got to listen to. But right now, we're going to be talking to Ed about sales, marketing, branding, all that stuff that noises in your head. We're gonna just do an effective job of getting it out. So once again, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. And we're going to get right into the interview because it's lengthy. So thank you very much. Here's Ed. All right. Welcome, Ed, to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Listeners out there, this is Ed Marsh. He's with Consilium Global Business Advisors, LLC. And Ed, welcome. Thank you very much for joining. How are you doing?
I'm good, Scott. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, definitely. The pleasure is all on this side of the mic because you don't have... I'm looking at you on the video. And if you're out there on the video, you can see that I've got headphones and I've got a mic and he has nothing.
I'm ill prepared. And not to mention the fact I don't have the DJ voice either.
Oh, yeah. Get out of here, man. Yeah, bags of bags, bags of bags, blah, blah. Anyway, hey, wanna for the listeners out there, give us a little background. I know that your stat card out there on LinkedIn is pretty substantial. Give us a little background on who you are there, Ed, for the listeners.
Yeah, well, so I'm sure like everybody that you talk to and everyone you deal with, I did not plan to be exactly where I am right now. I mean, it's an evolution, right? Mm-hmm. So went to school. Originally, I thought I wanted to be an architect because I love the intersection of art and science. And went to school, decided I wanted to be an airborne ranger. Went into the Army running raids and ambushes. And then fell in love and wanted to stay married. And so I got out of the Army and kind of stumbled through a variety of different things in the industrial space, often related to selling capital equipment and industrial manufacturing. Became partners with a German company, bringing capital equipment into the U.S. that was used in printing and packaging. Actually set up a company in India to take used equipment from the U.S. to India and staffed it over there and built a sales model over there. Done a lot of international work, but along the way decided I was tired of running businesses and dealing with HR hassles where I'm ill-suited by temperament to deal with some of those kinds of management responsibilities. And so I became a consultant. And focused on the areas where I bring value, kind of strategy and revenue growth and the application of digital into traditional markets. And so that's where I live today, working mostly with middle market industrial manufacturers, often capital equipment manufacturers, and often subsidiaries of German or international companies, because I understand the culture and I understand the U.S. market and I understand digital tools and behavior. And that's what I enjoy doing.
Yeah, see, all right, you listeners out there, this is a great opportunity for you to, what he pointed out, what I like the best is the fact that he's starting to blend the digital aspects into your business because a couple of things. Once again, if you become an individual on the Industrial Talk Podcast, you'll see this questionnaire, and then I use the questionnaire. And a couple of points that I wanted to sort of highlight for you listeners out there, one of the things that I want to get him to talk a little bit about, defining head trash within the industrial world. What is that all about?
Well, if you want to get me talking about something, Scott, you figured out how to flip my switch, and off I'll go talking about it. So head trash is all this stuff that rattles around in our heads, all these self-limiting expectations. And I don't mean this kind of in the, you know, in the cheesy self-development kind of way, although I think it can apply there. But I mean really more. I mean, how many times have we all heard, oh, people in our industry don't use the internet the same way everybody else does? I mean, let's start with that. Gosh. That is the quintessential head trash in the industrial space. This somehow people have this idea without justification, based on some limited perspective, that then, amazingly, without any validation, drives their strategy and business execution. So it's really important to challenge that kind of stuff and root it out.
Yeah, and I like the term head trash because industrial people out there, listen to this. If you want to leave a legacy, if you want to be around for a little while, you better start to embrace this whole digital world. And you better start to think about the internet as an asset as opposed to an irritant, I guess, for a lack of a better term. Because it is going to be there. And the sooner you get your arms around and at least get engaged, because we're going to be talking about intent, data, and what that means to you as an industrial professional. Now, the second question that I have, and this is on your form too, is this, and it's a lengthy word, so paper and pencil here, folks. Omnichannel revenue growth engine. What does that mean?
Yeah, so obviously that is, you know, we're not just talking about bending steel and welding it. That's kind of, that comes from other industries. But the interesting thing about it is that I believe there are opportunities to learn from other industries. And this kind of goes to that head trash, you know, oh, industrial buyers operate a certain way. In our industry, buyers don't do that, or, you know, those kinds of assumptions. And so what I would propose instead is that we go and look at industries that grow really quickly. Now, I understand some industrial companies can't scale growth as fast as a software company. A software company, you just sell another license. There's no incremental cost to it, and scaling is a matter of just having some additional tech support. You don't have to build another factory, another warehouse. That being said, if we look at companies that are under intense pressure to grow quickly, those that have, you know, Series A venture capital investors that are skeptical that they can actually pull it off, but they're taking a gamble on it, and they want to see relentless revenue growth, what sorts of models, what techniques do they use? How do they go about doing it? And so that's where we come back to this omni-channel approach. You know, in the industrial space, often we'll have regional sales managers or field salespeople. We may have some poorly coordinated sales channel. We probably have some trade shows and some trade journal advertising, and that's marketing. You know, a website that kind of got built 7 years ago, and maybe we ought to redo it, but it's still okay as it is. On the other hand, if you go and you talk to a tech company where the investors want to see, you know, it may not be an exaggeration to say daily recaps of new deals and new contacts. How are they doing it? Well, they're building a machine that has outbound sales, in other words, cold calling and cold email, inbound marketing, in other words, great websites with SEO that are bringing in leads. They're doing pay-per-click. They're using intent data. They've got BDRs and SDRs, business development reps and sales development reps, that are junior salespeople that are handling the outbound sales and the inbound leads. They've got inside salespeople that will work with leads that aren't necessarily, you know, bank qualified. They're thinking about it, but they're not ready to buy yet. They're not what we might call a sales qualified lead. And those inside salespeople will nurture them. And then they'll hand them off to an AE, an account executive, when they become sales qualified leads. And then they track the deals. And of course, they use technology to do this. And there's a lot of tools that go into it. But the point is, it's omni-channel. It's paid ads. It's outbound sales. Yes. It's marketing. It's digital. It's all these pieces together. And I think that the fundamentally important thing there is that we don't live in a binary world the way people try to explain it. People say, oh, cold calling is dead. You got to have SEO now. Or SEO doesn't work as well now. Now you need to have whatever. There's so much crap. Head trash that gets built around this binary idea. Such and such is good, such and such is bad. And companies pivot and change and just kind of like a drunken sailor wandering back and forth trying to figure out how to grow. And then they don't get good at any of it. And instead, sensible companies these days are building this machine that incorporates a number of these elements together.
But see, that takes a little while. I think the elephant in the room is that I don't know. And if you're dealing with companies that believe this, Don't deal with them. But I don't know of any company out there that doesn't want to grow, that doesn't want to expand their market, that doesn't want to increase sales and bottom line value and revenue.
Yeah, but I don't know anybody that doesn't want to build muscle or lose weight, but how many people are actually willing to do it?
Absolutely. And you industrial people out there, I think the key here is that he's talking about that portfolio of strategies that are all wrapped around omni-channel approach. You can't just say, hey, my email marketing strategy, I'm not going to do that because nobody reads emails. No, there might be a couple of people that read email, and there might be a couple of people that just go out to that SEO, you know, to go to your website, and you want to capture that too. But it's a sort of that holistic look at how you're going to drive revenue and grow your business.
That's absolutely right. And so many companies start doing something and maybe they write crappy subject lines in emails, and then suddenly they decide email marketing doesn't work. Well, right. It's not email marketing. It's the fact that your copy was embarrassingly bad. Right. Or they hire somebody as a BDR to make outbound sales calls, cold calls, and they don't have any success with it. Well, number one, if you have a sample of 200, you're not going to have success. Number two, if you've never managed a BDR and don't know the technology and how to write the call scripts and the email templates and how to space the tempo and how to interject social media in the middle of it and how to coach somebody on 3-second increments during the call and all the different phases that have to happen. If you don't have that background, well, then how in the world would you expect somebody that comes into your office with no supervision to succeed doing it? So the fact that one particular example failed doesn't mean that it's a bad strategy.
But here's the funny thing that you're, and what fascinates me about this conversation, Ed, is the fact that industry as a whole is not there yet. I mean, you're talking about industries that are really geared to selling, like tech. I mean, they're into that. They go through that. They see it. Now they can always improve, but industry as a whole, and me being in it, of course, it's, hey, can you go take me fishing? Yeah, I can take you fishing. What about golfing? Okay, we're done. Check mark on the sales approach. It's going to be much more than that. It's got to be much more than that.
Yeah, and you know, people assume that it's getting in touch with some lower level person. I can cite a number of examples where I've seen a BDR, 23 years old, none of the 20 years of industry experience that you're told is a prerequisite to be able to pick up the phone and call in and reach CEOs of middle market, privately held and publicly held companies, and schedule meetings for a competent salesperson to talk about equipment. And yeah. I've seen it work. It will work if you have the right people and the right training.
That's key. Right people, right training, right scripts, and the strategy behind it. You can't just hire people off the street, just like, exactly. Hey, and ask them to be successful, and then all of a sudden they're failing. They feel bad about themselves, and then you think, it was never going to work anyway.
And if you think that you can have your salesperson engineer who does a wonderful job tracking versions of drawings and making sure the quotes are up to date also make a couple cold calls and be successful, that's mistaken. That will not work.
Gee. I mean, you're preaching to the choir right here. If there was only one listener and that was me, I'm enjoying this conversation there, Ed.
Well, I am too.
And I'm writing it down as we speak. And so you should too, listeners, be writing this down because this is real important stuff. Now, how long does something like this take? You go into a business and you're looking at that business. And let's say it's an industrial business. And I mean, that is a huge cultural shift. What we just spoke about is huge cultural shift, mindset, activity, tracking. You got to eat this elephant one bite at a time. I mean,
yeah, well, so let's start just at a very fundamental level. In a typical business like that, you've got a marketing department that's a redheaded stepchild that's got three people and they plan trade shows. That's their job, right? And you've got a sales department that is they lord their power over the rest of the organization. They are the rainmakers. They walk, cockily through the building. They're the ones with the expense accounts. They're the ones that bring in the deals, even if they're not accountable, even if they don't have a pipeline, even if, you know, all that kind of best practice isn't there. So the first thing that has to happen is there has to be an executive level, C-level independent director kind of a discussion, which is hard, you know, in family-owned businesses where the VP of sales may be the cousin or the brother or whatever. But there's got to be a realignment of organizational staffing and resources. The marketing function has to be elevated in terms of what is provided. Now, that doesn't mean that sales is knocked down, but it means that now they've got a peer rather than, you know, kind of a servant.
Yeah, but you have to line that up. I mean, you have to line the two. I mean, they're all sort of got to be rowing in the same direction. I mean, for the betterment of the overall company and the people within that organization, absolutely, they got to be going down that road.
But that's where it's all got to start. I mean, the CEO has to say, you know what? All right, so let's back up. Here's another piece of head trash. The way we're going to go to market is, you know, based on the way we're structured with marketing and sales and customer support. Now, put your hat on the other way, or put the other shoe on, whatever analogy you want to use. I'm mixing metaphors. But as a buyer, if you go to a website and you chat in on a website and you ask a question, do you want to get told, hold on, let me think about where I need to route your chat. If I should have you ask marketing, or have you ask sales, or have you ask service? You don't give a darn. All you want is the answer to your question, right? So these vestigial structures that we have of marketing and sales and service are for our own benefit running the business, and they actually impede our ability to deliver what customers want. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't different skills between those groups. There are, absolutely. You need to account for them. You need to have the right people, the right skills, the right tools. But what I would suggest is we start to think about it from the customer perspective. How does the customer want to do business? And then figure out how to adapt that in a way that really works. And I think chat, I mentioned earlier, live chat on a website and chat bots are a great example. I talked to industrial companies about it. Oh, you know, how are we going to staff for it? How do we route those? All kinds of stuff. There is no end of excuses about why it wouldn't possibly work. And then I see a global VP of engineering from, you know, a major CPG company come to a client website, start a conversation by chat that might not have started with a form with 10 fields on it. And suddenly there's a project going on.
Yeah.
People want to do business in a way that's easy for them, not the way we think that we want them to do business.
Remove the friction.
Absolutely.
Make it as easy as you possibly can. And you could do that with technology. And it's I'm at a point where I accept the fact that I'm looking for that chatbot. I am actually going online looking for the chatbot. At least I know something is happening, and I'm not trying to look around for that phone number, which I'm getting frustrated because nobody wants to put the phone number out there. So, right. Hey, we're going to have to take a break right now. Two things, guys. No. Three things, you listeners out there. The number one, head trash. Get rid of it. In fact, I'm going to start using hashtag head trash. How about that? Can I do that there, Ed?
Absolutely.
Hashtag head trash. Two, omni-channel revenue growth engine. That is that holistic look. So you got to look through that. I guarantee if you start to dive into your organization, you're going to see that you don't have an omni-channel, you know, viewpoint. And then finally, look at your business and how you interact from the customer's perspective. That's easy. Come on. That's easy. All right. We're going to have to take a break. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. We will be right back, and we're going to be talking about 3 to 5 actionable items. So get your pen and paper out. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
As an industrial professional myself, I was always passionate about sales, marketing, branding, expanding the marketplace for my company. That's what the Industrial Talk platform is all about. It's about you, the industrial company, the industrial professional, and your legacy. Increasing sales, gaining greater exposure on what you do and how you and your company changes the world. Go out to industrialtalk.com. That's industrialtalk.com. Contact me. Let's have a conversation to see how we can work with you on improving your bottom line, and that you could be a part of an ever-growing network of industrial companies focused on expanding and growing and leaving a legacy. I hope to hear from you soon, and be safe out there. All right, welcome back to the Industrial Talk podcast. So glad that you guys are here to listen to a gentleman by the name of Ed Marsh. Once again, he is the big thinker at Concilium Global Business Advisors, which is a mouthful, but a powerful mouthful. It's all good. Hey, you know, we talked about in the last segment, we talked about head trash. Get rid of that. Get rid of that. Omnichannel revenue, you're going to have to do that. Don't just throw away your email marketing, your outbound call or whatever. It is a global holistic strategy, and you got to look at it from the customer's perspective. Those are truth bombs. Write them down. Now, this is the segment where we start talking a little bit about, hey, I want it to be about me now, Ed, and I want five actionable points that I can write down that I can begin to think or even execute today. Can we start with that?
Yeah, and in fact, let's start. I mean, maybe it's a decent segue, maybe it's repetitive, but the third point you mentioned from the first section is the first point that I would say. And to say it very coarsely and crassly, nobody gives a shit about your product or service.
It's true.
All they care about is the outcome that it delivers for them. And any time that we spend talking about our own products or services is a waste of time. Now, of course, we have to help people understand what we do and how it's going to help them achieve the outcome. But we need to understand what buyers are thinking. We need to understand their habits and their expectations and the way they want to buy. And I mean, all of that kind of stuff is often antithetical, you know, to the head trash that dictates the way we try to market and sell.
I'll tell you, in the industrial world, we are so proud of our little tech. We're so proud of our widget. We're so proud of that little shiny object. And we want to talk a lot about it. But the customer doesn't care. Does it solve my problem? This is my problem. Tell me how you're going to help me.
Yeah, come visit us at the trade show booth because we've got the new version of our HMI with the button in a different place, and it completely revolutionizes business, and we're innovative people. Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Like, how many times have you heard that?
All the time. Yep. And it's funny because I'll get to the point where I'm saying, I don't want to hear about you and your tech. Let's talk a little bit about my problems, my pain, and I need a solution. And if we can have that conversation, I'm all happy as a clam.
Yep.
So that's number one. Let's start stop talking about your .com product and understand what your customer's pain is.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Stop it.
Number two is related to that. We are all now very sophisticated B2C buyers. We have expectations, whether it's driven by the huge online marketplaces where we buy with one click and have everything delivered in 24 hours, or, you know, places where we find all the information we need, or, you know, subscriptions that give us more entertainment than we could possibly consume, you know, in all our waking hours. We are very sophisticated B2C buyers. And then we go to work, sit on the other side of the desk, and we're like cavemen or cave people in how we sell B2B. And we need to recognize that's a different flavor of the understand customer pain and stop talking about yourself. This is really providing the kinds of systems and technology and ease of interaction. So it's not just the information that you're providing, but how you provide it and how you make it accessible to people.
I live that, and you're absolutely spot on, especially today. And our expectations as a society when it comes to tech, outside of business, outside of our industrial life, it's like the internet's slow. Darn it, man, I've got 350 different movies and I can't find one thing that I like. And it's just ridiculous. And I always reflect upon me growing up, and it's like, hey, we got a rerun of Wizard of Oz. I'm excited. And it only comes around once a year, right? And so we take that for granted, but then we do not translate that technical horsepower, that sophistication into our work environment. And it's there.
We talked earlier about conversational marketing or chatbots. I mean, what a perfect example. It's not just about customer service for, you know, problems with the cable company and live chat. This is about answering questions in a sophisticated kind of way that will help people navigate your site, navigate the experience, find the information they need, get their answers.
And what's fascinating about it, you're collect. It's not like, hey, fill this form out. And if I have to fill a form out and I got to look at all those little fields, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to flatline. But a chatbot is like, hey, how you doing today? I'm fine. All right, that goes. And I'll fill out the form, but it's through a chatbot.
So 2 minutes later, you feel like you've got a more engaging experience, and the marketer has all the info they wanted to begin
with. That's it. It's just great. And it's like, oh, somebody's responded.
And they've got the opportunity before you leave the site. You know, the problem with forms, not only do people not want to fill them out, they push the submit button. Your salespeople don't follow up on them. Customers have forgotten about it. They're off, you know, they're doing something else. They're dealing with the next crisis. If they are on your site and you've engaged them with a chatbot, you've got the opportunity to book the meeting right then. Have the conversation,
yes, or
book the meeting right then and not go through this kabuki dance for the next 2 weeks of calls and emails, hoping you can actually connect and then argue about the schedule. Just book it right then. I mean, that's the huge power of chat.
Ah, the tingle in my back is just fantastic. I love that. That is so true. I'm writing it down. Note to self, I need a chatbot for my website. So, all right, number three. Let's get going with number three.
So ask any industrial company who their competitors are, and they're all going to have a list, right? It's going to be the three companies that sell exactly the same kind of crap, talk about it exactly the same kind of a way, that they don't want to have their booze next to at the trade show. But I would argue that those competitors are not the problem. The competitors are entirely other solutions that will help achieve the same outcome and or the status quo. I think the biggest competitor that every company faces today and nobody talks about is the status quo.
Oh, that is poison. That is a poison pill, baby.
CEB says there's 6.8 buyers in every complex buying team. 6.8. Just imagine the last time you were in a meeting with seven people around the conference table. How much time did you spend simply trying to reach consensus on what restaurant you're going to get the menu for takeout lunch for the meeting? Much less, you know, where are you going to put $1 million of capital and how you're going to prioritize projects in the company? So it is no wonder that the status quo wins. I mean, people just can't agree. And if they can't agree, it doesn't happen. You know, if everyone has to say yes, and any single person can say no, it's a tough time to be a salesperson right now.
Wow. All right. Just 1 second. I'm going to have to recap. Once again, stop talking about your product. Understand your customer. Understand their pain. And look at it from their perspective. That's number one. Number two, the level of sophistication that you're bringing into your industrial business is not so good. Even I'll say pathetic. And so you need to start thinking about technology that will help you be able to do your work with more and greater efficiency. And then finally, status quo will kill you. Status quo will kill you. That's number three. Let's keep going. Number four.
So number four, think about the difference. If you go into an industrial manufacturer and you walk the factory floor, they've got, you know, Kanban set up. They've got their A4 set around for updating their process. Everyone knows exactly what the workflow is. And they push the button to stop the line if there's any defect. And quality is engineered in. And everything runs like a clock.
Right.
And then walk into the office in the sales and marketing space. And I challenge you to find one iota of the same sort of management rigor applied to the revenue growth.
It doesn't. Not there, right? And you go behind the curtain and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. It's like manufacturing. Look at that line. It is hopping and it's just tuned to the top. Behind the curtain. It's like, what the hell is this?
And so I think the point is, it's not the sophistication of industrial manufacturers. They're very sophisticated in many ways in what they're designing and conceiving and manufacturing. The problem is they're not creating that same sophistication in managing the revenue growth or in delivering the customer experience.
No. And in fact, that's just really interesting. And it gets back to that, I believe, number one, we were so conditioned for so many years to talk about our widget, man. Our widget's the best. That shovel will help you dig ditches the best that any shovel could buy. And it was just sort of ingrained in its sort of DNA right now. And that's got to stop.
It's got a hickory handle. The other one has a plastic handle. Don't you know a hickory handle digs a better ditch?
Man, I'm telling you, man, that dirt has no competition for the dirt.
There you go.
But it's true. But I think it sort of stems. Everybody, we become really, and not to say that it's bad, but you really have to work hand in hand, man. I don't care how wonderful your widget is. If you're not selling it, so what?
Right.
So what? Okay, final one. Fifth point.
All right, this is one that's going to get me some darts thrown at me. I think most of your field salespeople are just wasting your money.
Gake. Yep. I mean, gulp.
So $100,000 base plus commission plus travel expenses. You know, a typical field salesperson delivering a mediocre level of performance, missing quota 60% of the time, not updating their sales pipeline so you can do accurate forecasting to your investors and stakeholders and bank, all that kind of stuff. They're making $200,000 a year and they are wasting most of it. I often tell people that what you ought to do is take your top performing field salesperson, often a person who's kind of spent enough years in airports and hotel rooms and would be happy to spend a little bit less time traveling, and make them an inside salesperson. Now, that's counterintuitive. People often say your inside salesperson is a junior person. You're trying to nurture them and develop them. Wouldn't it be better to have somebody in-house that understands, without actually flying and walking the factory floor, knows how to ask the questions to uncover the problems, knows what the likely outcomes are or the problems that somebody has in their business that they may not even be aware of? Imagine if you had that as a resource. You can even charge for people to be sold to, because you're going to be doing consulting along the way. I mean, that's a little bit of an extreme, but the point is field salespeople are a waste of money in most cases.
Well, and I look at it this way too, and good thing you're on a video and nobody's going to throw anything at you. And so congratulations, you're safe. But I believe to a certain extent, we do a horrible job at creating an environment of success too, as well, through training, through the opportunities. I mean, for me personally, I'll give you the example that I sent my sales group to a place out of California, and we spent a lot of money to learn how to sell more, to do the strategies, the bads, that. We just went on and on. And I was just, for me as the president, I was excited as can be. They came back. What do you think happened?
Same as before.
Boom, done. No, everybody went back to their old way. You know why? Because I didn't reinforce it. I wasn't a part of it. I didn't do my part to try to incrementally improve that.
Well, let me give you an example.
It's awful.
How could a company reasonably send salespeople into the field to speak to VPs and presidents and GMs about making investments in industrial technology, for instance, and not arm those people with at least some fundamental understanding of business accounting? You're asking people to help a manager of a business make a financial decision, but you give them none of the background of how to guide that conversation. I mean, simple things like that. I mean, until companies start doing that, I think they're missing the boat.
Boy, do I agree with you on that. We're just not doing a good job training. That one of many things. But you know what? What a great opportunity for us to be able to do that.
For sure.
Buy those solutions. Because this world that we're living in right now, the technology that's happening today and what it's going to be like tomorrow is, and I always preach this, if you're not engaged, you industrial individual, you industrial company, if you're not engaged and looking at this stuff, you will be left behind. And that competition, whoever it might be, who is investing, will leave you in the dust.
That's right.
There's no other way.
So quick question for you. We're agreeing on a lot of stuff, but here's a question.
Except the fact that you have hair and I don't, so I disagree with that.
Lots of people, though, say everything you do has to be super short and super simple, 3 bullet points, because everyone's so busy. I disagree.
I
believe that you need to provide substantive information that somebody has got real responsibility, real problems they're working on, can sink their teeth into. No, they're not going to do it for entertainment. It's going to be when they've got a problem and they think you can help them. But they want to know there's depth. They don't want another PowerPoint deck with 4 slides, 3 bullets each that tells them nothing.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think that for me personally, I can consume a pretty comprehensive solution. Now, I don't need 15 of them. I'm looking at that one problem and a comprehensive solution, and then I can say, yes, I can sink my teeth into it. I can't sink my teeth into, hey, you know, our value proposition will increase your bottom line by 20%.
Well, you got to throw an awesome in there every now and then, too.
What's that?
Oh, awesome. Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's so true. No, yeah, absolutely. Right on the money there. And I agree with you. And I think people are looking for, I think, tangible solutions. And that requires a deeper conversation.
Right.
But technology, Ed, is there. And it incrementally, from a cost point of view, you just got to get off your butt and learn it and grow and do it and experience the challenges that come with it. You can do it. If I can modify my own little website, you can do it.
Yeah, I mean, you probably spend less time in the sports section and you spend more time writing an article. That's the reality.
That is absolutely. Okay, paper and pencil. Let's recap real quick before we wrap this conversation up. One, stop talking about your product. Listen to your customer's problem. Let's talk a little bit about increasing that sophistication in your organization and look at some technology that can help make your organization more efficient. Status quo, I don't want to hear it. That'll kill your business. And then number four, what was it? I didn't write it all down. It started with a D.
Yeah, I think it's number four. We talked about bringing that same rigor that you use to manage your manufacturing line to your revenue growth operation.
That's right. You got it right there. For me, I failed. Thank you very much, Ed. Whatever. And then five, gulp.
Whisper.
Yes. You're not getting the greatest value out of your salespeople, and you need to really look into that particular organization to determine what you need to do. How's that?
That's good.
That's pretty good. That's consumable. All right. Hey, are you active out there on LinkedIn?
I am. Absolutely. I'm on LinkedIn. And not only for the consulting business, but also for a parallel business that kind of fits into some of what we're talking about around.
That's another conversation. And we didn't even touch upon it.
Well, then we'll have to connect another day.
Hey, you got a call. You need to take that call?
Nope.
And then, so you're active out on LinkedIn, Facebook. You got it. If you go out to industrialtalk.com, go to the show notes. I will have every he's got a personal, he's got a company Facebook, he's all over the place, and he is active. And if you can't get a hold of him, you're not even trying. You're sort of living the status quo life. So don't do that. Reach out to him. Ed, it was a wonderful. It was a pleasure. And we got to talk about your other platform, and that is Intent Data. That'll blow your mind, you industrial people out there. That's a powerful strategy that we need to talk about. How about that, Lane? We got to have that conversation.
Sounds good. I'll look forward to this, guys.
I like it. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast, Ed. And thank you, everyone, for joining as well. Stay tuned. We're going to recap all of what we just learned and how to get a hold of Ed. So thank you very much. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Hi there, Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk, and I have some questions to ask you. Do you want to create more digital attention? Do you want to sell more and create more opportunities? Do you want to connect with your target market? Now, if you said yes to any of those questions, then the Industrial Talk podcast platform is for you. We can get you up and running in a matter of hours with a branded podcast specific to you and your company. All you need to do is just reach out, click the link below, let's have a conversation, and let's see how we can help you get into the podcast business and be able to create those opportunities through the power of podcasting. I look forward to talking to you, and have a great day. All right, you Industrial Talk Podcast listeners, that was Ed Marsh. Thank you very much again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. All, and I mean every bit of information you want to know about Ed, out on industrialtalk.com. All the show notes will be there. I'm telling you, you need to get rid of that head trash. Out of everything here, get rid of that head trash because it's holding you back. You've got a world to change here, and you're in the industry, and so you have to change the world. We are depending on it. Go to industrialtalk.com. You want to reach out to me? Go there. Find it. Contact me. I'll reach out. You want to be on the podcast? Talk to me. If you want to get into some more education about how I market, how we digitally market, Industrial Academy is for you. It's all out there. Click. Enjoy. I'm here to help. Have a wonderful week. Thank you very much for joining again. If there's anything I could do to help you as a company, as a professional, chirp at me. I'm here for you. Thank you. Be safe. You know, and continue listening to the podcast. I'm here for you.